really, really happy to have with us right now a great friend and an outstanding writer. He is Jameson Hensley, who covers the AFC North for ESPN.com. Jameson, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Vic.
Well, let's start with a couple of things of interest. You put together your all-AFC North midseason team for ESPN.com, and interestingly, you've included five Cleveland Browns on that list, five players from a 2-7 team at this midseason point. That in itself, I want you to talk about, and the names, by the way, are Joe Hayden at cornerback, Sheldon Brown also at corner. You put Joe Thomas there at left tackle, and of course, Alex Mack at center, and Josh Cribbs as a returner. And the one guy that you left out that I know a lot of Browns fans would ask the question about, I certainly did, is Phil Dawson. You instead went with Justin Tucker for the Ravens.
Yeah, and I mean, believe me, this was a close call, and it's really hard to be better than Dawson when you're perfect on the season. But what really stood out for me was that Tucker, the undrafted rookie with the Ravens, has only missed one kick this season. He has a game winner against the New England Patriots, and the other thing I think that really separates him is that he has just as many 50-yard field goals as Dawson, and his touchbacks. Tucker has 27 this year, and as everybody knows, that's probably not one of Dawson's strengths, but still, it was a very close call, but I sided with Tucker on this.
What's interesting to me, too, though, when you look at the Browns' season, and of course, only two wins to show for it is not the start they wanted, and certainly doesn't seem like a start that could generate as many as five players on an all-star team for the division, even though all of these are legitimate choices. Does that say something about their season, Jameson? I know you've seen this team in person a few times this year, that they've been competitive in games, probably played well enough to win games that they found a way to lose.
Yeah, and believe me, if you look at the talent on this team compared to maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, it really is night and day. I mean, it's really no comparison just on the talent alone. And I think Tom Hackett has done a very good job at stockpiling a team that had a lot of needs over the past few years. And I like how he addressed it as far as going defense first and then doing a little bit more with the offense this past year. And I think it's really shown in games this year where it has been very close. And if not for Josh Gordon's dropped pass at Indianapolis, This team could have had three straight wins, and if they could have converted in the red zone against Baltimore, you could easily be saying this is a Browns team on a four-game winning streak, and there would be a buzz about them in the NFL.
Yeah, there definitely are some places you can look at this team and feel pretty good about. And instead, though, the feeling is primarily that of frustration. I think an interesting guy that you've put on here, and I would like to hear a little bit about that, is Sheldon Brown, the 11-year veteran at corner, 33 years old, and a guy that, you know, at that stage as a corner, you're expecting a slowdown. You're not expecting a guy to have that sort of all-star capacity, but he has made some big plays. What went into your thinking of putting him on there?
Yeah, and honestly, before the season, I was one of those guys that thought that Sheldon Brown wouldn't even be starting for the Browns. I thought Dimitri Patterson was going to be the guy that was going to step up, especially after he re-signed with the Browns. This is a guy I thought, when you looked at the cornerbacks in the division this year, from start to finish, I thought he has been the most consistent. And, of course, Hayden had the four-game suspension, but I thought when you looked at his overall body of work, I really thought he was the most consistent guy in the division. And it favors him that a guy like Go'Darius Webb with the Ravens is injured. The Steelers, Ike Taylor, who many thought would probably be on this team, he was really bad early on. So what really went into my thinking was going, okay, Joe Hayden, he's the no-brainer. I mean, he was the guy that was going to be on as the one corner. The second corner really made me think, and I go, Sheldon Brown was the guy that just from start to finish, at least in the midseason, I thought made the case that he should be the other corner.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, you call him a no-brainer, Joe Hayden, and that you did that even with him missing the four games with the suspension. So he was able to overcome that and make your team.
Yeah, and I think the times that he's been in there, just looking at the stats, when you see Joe Hayden in that secondary and when he's not, there is a big difference. And so just his impact alone, and I think you just can't discredit for, you can always just say, hey, look at the stats, and you can judge corners by number of interceptions, pass breakups, and Hayden has, when you look at passes broken up over the past 2 years, there's few corners that have done more than that, than Hayden over the past 2 years.
Right.
But I just think his talent level and what quarterbacks look at, I think just his impact on being on the field alone, I think he does more than maybe other corners who maybe have some better stats than him.
Jamison Hensley joining us. He covers the AFC North for ESPN.com. And check out his great work there, and especially check out his listing of the All-AFC North midseason team. You could see the entire team there, but it does include five members of the Browns. Another item that you have that people should also check out is the AFC North quarterback report card. And for the Browns, of course, Brandon Whedon, you give him a letter grade of D just so the others know, we know what the others are all about. Andy Dalton for the Bengals gets a C. You give Joe Flacco a C plus. You give Ben Roethlisberger a B minus. So you're a tough grader overall. So, I should say that up front.
And this is a report card that is from this past week's games. So
it's strictly based off the games, and Whedon, yeah. that D is consistent with, yes, a struggle, a performance that he had. But how will you give me a sense of that game? Okay, you gave him the D, and I don't think Brandon would argue on that. But overall, what you're seeing of him?
Yeah, and really, if I watched Sunday's game, not knowing that it was, near the midway point of the season, if I just watched his game against the Ravens, I would have said that was the one, that was the game that was in early September. It just seemed like he just didn't have as much confidence as I've seen him play with over the past few weeks. And even if in the 7-6 win against the Chargers, they didn't put up a lot of points, but I really thought it was almost a workmanlike, veteran type of performance from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I even saw growth during that time. And what I had liked over the past three games leading up to the Baltimore game was that he only had one interception. And I thought he was taking care of the ball a lot more. And I think some of going into the Baltimore game and looking at the Baltimore game, some of it had to do with Whedon. I think some of it had to do with just the play calling as well. And I thought the Browns not being as aggressive, I think really hurt Whedon. And this is a guy that at Oklahoma State had kind of that gunslinger mentality. But it's just a very fine line when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback where you want him to be aggressive, but you don't want him to make that careless turnover. And I think that's going to be kind of the growing pains that you're going to see even in the second half of the season with Brandon Whedon.
Jamison, talking about the rest of this division, certainly the Pittsburgh Steelers look like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a big win that they had over the Giants. Ben Roethlisberger coming through with his typical heroics. Are you seeing that team in any way, although as beat up as they are at running back especially, are they capable of in any way running away with this division?
I don't think they would be, say, running away. I think they're very capable at winning it. They look like the best team in the division now. As you know, Vic, week to week in the NFL, you could be the best team, and then the next week get shut out, and you're the worst team. So it is a very week-to-week process. But if you look at the past 3 weeks, the Steelers' body of work, they've become more and more impressive every week. And a lot has to do with the running game. And over the past 3 weeks, they've really only had maybe one healthy featured back, and they've had a go with him. And they've gotten 100 yards out of them each time. And that's really what stands out about the Steelers is that they're getting back to kind of playing the old Steelers football of controlling the clock, running the football. The offensive line is for the Steelers, they're playing better than I've seen them maybe in like 4 or 5 years with the Steelers. So they're starting to look like a kind of a scary team by putting this all together. But still with the Ravens as well, they are dealing with injuries, but I think in a couple weeks they're going to be playing two times in the next 3 weeks, the Steelers and Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll really find out who is going to win the division after that second meeting.
And the Bengals, what do we say about them at this point, Jameson?
Yeah, this is a team that they had been so tired of hearing, going from off-season workouts to training camp, hearing that it's been 30 years since they put together back-to-back winning seasons. And they started getting tired of it. Well, they probably should have paid more attention to it, because this is what's happening right now, is that they just have had trouble following up success. And they've had some injuries, not as many as maybe the other three teams in the division. They probably, when we talk about injuries, they probably have fared much better than the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns. But Andy Dalton, they talk about the sophomore slump. This is a guy who's thrown an interception in every game this year. He's had three of them return for touchdowns. You need to have steadier quarterback play if you want to have a winning season. And I think it's not all his fault for their record right now in the four-game losing streak, but a lot of the problems go back to Andy Dalton.
Well, Jameson, tremendous breakdown, as we always expect from you, and we certainly look forward to catching up with you again later in the season.
Great. Thank you so much, Dick.
All right. Thank you. He is Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. Does an outstanding job covering the AFC North. Check out his great work at that website. And we've got much more coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.